Trust has spoken to us before, so please help make me make him welcome.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Amen. I wanted to hear the word, I'm blessed. How are you today? Amen. I want us to thank God. I want us to, in a short while, we'll stand and we'll put our hands together and clap to Christ and make some wonderful noise soon. You know the reason? Last week, there could be somebody here, you were so sick you almost died, but Jesus healed you. Somebody here, you received a letter of elevation. Now you are promoted. You have a reason to thank God. The last time I was in hospital, I noticed that in hospital there was a big tank of oxygen in the corner. And the nurses say that is for emergency in case somebody is unable to breathe. And when I look here, I don't see anyone carrying that big tank of oxygen. You have reason to thank God that you can breathe in and breathe out without any difficulty. You are here because God has enabled you to be here. And I want us to stand now and we want to say thank you to Jesus for a minute. I want you to put your hands together and begin to make a joyful noise. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You are wonderful. You are glorious indeed, Lord. Jesus, the Son of the Living God. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. Worthy, worthy. Hallelujah. For your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. For your joy and the peace we have. Thank you, Lord. Protection from accidents, from sickness and disease. Thank you. Come on, people, help me. Help me thank Jesus. You are worthy. Jesus, the Son of the Living God. Oh, hallelujah. He's wonderful. Hallelujah. And somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I need to tell you, I'm an old Pentecostal believer. I was born again 33 years ago. So we love saying amen once in a while. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm making some noise. This time to be quiet, but this time we make some noise. Amen. I want to start. Don't sit now. You stand with me for a minute or so. Just be standing. I want to thank Reverend Walker Schultz and his dear wife, and of course the leadership and all of you for having us here again. We are always happy when we are told to come here because we come to meet joyful people who love Jesus. And our association with you brings much joy and encouragement. So we are so happy to be here. And I want to say thank you to my friend, Pastor Walker, and for having me coming here. And I want also to recognize Reverend Newberry. I've known Reverend Newberry for a long time, and it's a privilege again to see you after many years. You are a wonderful man. Please, a big hand for Reverend Newberry. Wonderful man. I need to say that we're very grateful, sir, for your sacrifice to come here in Zambia, for the crusades and many people you've won to the Lord, obeying God to do what you have done. And you are seeing some now, but you'll see more. God will show you to say, you obeyed me, my son, you did well. Again, a big clap offering for the servant of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I have come today to give a word, and my preaching today will be entitled Commitment. But I want you to lift your Bible high. You remember Ezra made everyone stand, so that's why I made you stand. I want you to lift your Bible very high. Now, if you didn't lift your Bible, chances are you don't have one. And if you don't have one, I would encourage you to buy one in the bookshop, because there are some people who think they should just receive Bible free. It's a good thought, but let me give you a better thought. buy your Bible. The way you buy your lunch at Intercontinental. Are we together? Lift up your Bible and say, this is my Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the final authority. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. My heart is open to receive a word from heaven. Amen. Now I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And we will be reading verse 1 up to 3 only. Second Kings chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a wind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Those words from Elisha to Elijah sound familiar even today to you and me. Elisha clearly speaks, I cannot leave the man of God who knows the Lord. The other time I read is Matthew chapter 28. Jesus says, I will not leave you. You see, we believers are reading a Bible of commitment. A lifelong commitment. The Bible teaches us that we must hold on to the tenets we believe. We hold on very firmly and we never let go. God expects us to be committed to Him now and forever. God expects us to be committed to our spouse as long as we live. Why am I hearing five people saying amen? I told you I like some amens myself. I said God wants you to be committed to your spouse from now until you die. Amen. Now that's better. That's better. I see one brother is very sad. May the Lord give you joy right now. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The last time I checked, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Somebody shout, I am free. So we serve a God who is teaching us commitment. In the world, that's not what is being taught. In the world, people are being encouraged to cut covenants, contracts, premature. But we belong to a God of commitment. Amen. Jesus is committed to you. He will be with you on the mountain and in the valley. He will never forsake you. And you will be committed to Jesus now and all the days of your life. Let me hear a good amen in the house. And the Bible says here, so they went down together to Bethel. Verse 3, the company of prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and said, and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, Elisha replied. So be quiet. Everybody say, so be quiet.
So be quiet.
Now I said, everybody say, so be quiet. You are married and you hear in-laws telling you, this woman is not the right one for you. You need to stand up and tell them, so be
quiet.
Some of you have a plan to finish university and some people are discouraging you. Even if you have a degree, you will not get employment here. I have good news for you. God has got good plans for you. Plans to prosper you. To give you a hope and a future. What are you going to say to the voice of the enemy? So be quiet. And the devil is telling you, there's nothing good for you in Lusaka. You will not succeed. Business is tight. You are going down. That devil is a liar. And let God be true all the time. What are you going to say? So be quiet. A time has come for us to speak to the voice of the devil and tell him, so be quiet. Hallelujah. There will always be voices. Voices of discouragement, so that you are not committed anymore. You are more than a conqueror. You have to use your mouth and speak now. Tell the devils and the demons and tell them, so be quiet. And also you can add in Basela. You can say Zwa. Somebody say Zwa. Today I have come to encourage you. If you are committed, things will begin to happen. Elisha refused to depart from the man of God. God has set a set man in this house. His name is Pastor Walker and his dear wife. God has brought you so that you be connected. God will use him to bring blessings into your life. When they say to you, don't go to Miracle Life, it is too far. What do you say? So be quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? Do you understand what I'm saying to you today? And as you stay here, God will bless you. Do you know what happened to Elisha? Later he received double portion. The battles that Elijah failed to overcome or conquer, Elisha conquered. What your mama failed to do, you will do. If your father never drove, you will drive. Oh, I need to hear somebody here. If your father never owned a business, you will own one in the name of the Lord. If your father never got a master's, you will get one. Because a double portion is coming upon you. And this portion is coming because of commitment. Let me hear somebody say, amen.
Amen.
Lift up your hand and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be committed. Now start praying. Start praying right there where you are and say, Lord, I want to be committed to you. Come on, everybody. I give you 20 seconds. Just talk to the Father. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that I stand before your precious people and minister your word to them. I pray that this word will come clearly, Lord, that you love them, that you are a jealousy God, that you want that sister and that brother completely to be theirs and yours. Lord, that you have shed your blood for them so that they are yours. You don't want them to be shared between you and the enemy. Lord, today make it clear in their hearts that they need to follow you all the days of their lives. That they need to be committed to their family. That they need to be committed to this church. They need to be committed to the things you are putting in their hearts to do for you. I give you praise for what you will do. Thank you for making me stand here to share your word. Thank you, Lord. I give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, and God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Please take your seats. How can commitment be defined? Commitment can be defined as the decision to do what needs to be done. The decision to do what needs to be done. And here the next thing, whatever the cost. We are losing this precious word, God, commitment, in our generation today. People are no longer committed to anything, to any cause. People are no longer committed to die for a good cause. But as I stand here today, I'm a messenger to rekindle the principle of commitment. And when you read from the Bible, anyone who is committed, they have seen great rewards. Jesus was committed to serve the world. He died on the cross. Today we have 2 billion plus people saved all over the world. And the more we share the gospel, more will come into the kingdom. We must be committed, dear friends. So God has put the word before us, and the word clearly says we must be committed to our families. We must be committed to our employers. We must be committed to our church. We must be committed to our health. We must be committed to many things that God is putting in his word. But one that stands out, the chief commitment of our lives, is to God himself. In this generation, we need to rekindle the words of Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 37, where he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." God in heaven is a jealousy God. God wants you to be his own and call you my own. God does not want to see you being shared between him and the devil. We must love him completely with all our hearts, with all our minds. Jesus must be the center of our lives perpetually and forever. Today, I bring this message because I know great rewards will be yours when you obey this word. Three things I want to bring to your attention, or 3 points, as we are accustomed to. Number one, I want to talk about our opposition within the Christendom, which is low commitment. Then secondly, I want to address the call to commitment. And then finally, I will address the true nature of commitment. The opposition within us is the low commitment. Your coming here is a clear indication you love God. Your coming here and lifting your hands up to worship Jesus Christ is a clear indication you love Jesus. Your coming driving, using your fuel to be here and coming to pay offering and tithe is a commitment to God that you have given. So I am not doubting that you are not committed. I know you are committed for you to come here. But what you must understand is that I am seeing many Christians all in Africa and in the world that there is a low commitment. You got to understand that. And what I'm doing here, my mission is to make you increase that commitment to be high. I want you to be highly committed to the things of God. Now, I want to show you what has influenced our minds that sometimes we are not that committed to the things that God wants us to be committed. There are 3 things I've observed happening in the world. And these are shifts in mindsets of people. Number one, there is a lack of commitment to brands. Many years ago when I was born, my mom used to tell me that the best soap in the world is Omo. And so whenever we went to shop, those days there was Nieck and ZCBC before ShopRite pitched up. And whenever we entered, we would buy this soap Omo or another one called Surf. But today, when you tune on to movie TV and ZNBC, you will see all kinds of washing powders. There is Boom. There is a Bullet. And all these brands are associated with war. Very soon we will hear Scud missile. And guess what? People are buying those brands. The loyalty that used to be there is no longer there. Long time ago, people were loyal. Whenever they entered a shop, they would buy a television set called Sony. Home theater, Sony. It's not the same now. There are all these brands coming out. Sansu. Ngwangweng. That one I made it up. And so people are buying. And a long time ago, you would enter into a house, you would find Sharp TV, Sharp video player, because there were no DVDs, so there are those, a Sharp DVD player, Sharp radio. These days, you'll find the home theater, Sangsu. And then the TV, oh my goodness me. Everything is, what is happening? People don't care about brands anymore. What was associated with brands? It was a quality, the test of durability of a product. Now people don't care anymore. Give me this thing now and that's it. Now watch this. Slowly the minds of the people all over the world is this. It doesn't matter what brand. And the temptation is, you may think the Bible is just another book. No, sir. The Bible... Are you ready to say amen? Amen. is the final authority.
Amen.
The Bible is the word of God.
Amen.
You can never trade it for Sangsu. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For any philosophy that is being advertised on TV, on radio. No, sir. This is the final authority. What is another challenge we have? Commitment, lack of commitment to relationships. Hollywood has played a role. Nollywood has joined. Bollywood has joined. Very soon we'll have Zollywood. And all of them, they are saying, you can be married today. After a year, you divorce and marry another one. They are beginning to show that marriage is just like changing shirts. You don't like a shirt, throw it. But that's not the truth with the word of God. And our children are growing up watching these movies, and they think that is normal. And I suspect there could be one person here thinking, yeah, if my wife gets old, I'll get a brand new one. No, no, sir. No, sir. God calls us to commitment in relationships. Oh, I thought I would hear a better amen right there. Lack of commitment to institutions. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? I mean, the political system all over the world is in shambles. Leave alone parties. Those days we used to hear Nelson Mandela, ANC, Dr. Kaunda, UNIP. Now, you can be in UNIP. You go to MMD, you go there. You go to A. And some, they are open to say it. I am here for my stomach. It's no longer institution and what you stand for. And that is happening all over the world. And you see, friends, that's why it has influenced some people. They are today in this church, and then they come to Miracle Life, and then they go to another church. You know what? They think it's the same. No, sir. This is the family God has put you in. You must sit now and begin to serve the Lord here.
Amen.
Maybe let's speak it in our vernacular language. You must sit and serve the Lord here. You get that one? The mentality of jumping churches, being a grasshopper Christian, are over. Somebody say it is over. And every mindset of an orphan spirit jumping from one church to another, I cancel it.
Amen.
I rebuke it.
Amen.
And I speak it is over.
Amen.
God has called you to settle. Bring your children in holy faith here. You have enough car park there. You park your car. Bring your child. Let me speak as an invited guest. Can I speak to you as an invited? Because, you know, I've noticed some people when they're married very well and having breakfast, lunch, and supper, maybe even five meals, they think everyone is having five meals. I need to take you in Chongwe, down deep, you will see they eat one meal. And when you are eating, you all gather together. And when they say go, it is like a race. If you blink, you'll find the Shema is gone. So that's why you are bothering your husband. You don't understand. You are blessed. Somebody lift your hand and say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Let me bring you to your church. So you park your car there, and you begin to walk peacefully, take your children to Sunday school or children ministry, and they are being taught very well. You come and sit on a comfortable chair. 3 years ago, I was on leave. My wife and I and my son, we decided to go to Chongwe, deep in Chongwe. I said, let me go to a small church. I don't want to go to big churches. I'm on leave after all. And I drove there with some old clothes, which we had gathered in our church to bless people. When we entered the church, it was thatched. It was very, very low. When you enter, you had to bow down and enter. The chairs, they were made out of mud. And they did not make, you know, like rectangular table-like chairs for mud. They made it like a mountain. So when you sit, you actually felt the pain in your spine. I was so grateful the pastor preaches for 15 minutes because I felt the pain. Now you come here, you sit like, like you're in a home. What would make you run away? Do you see that? That's the devil. You need to use your mind sometimes. What is making me run when nobody's chasing me? If you don't know the song, you will see the words right there. If you don't know my name, there is my name right there. What would make you run? You know, sometimes you need to realize you are blessed, and stay put. Nkazika. One hour away. You know, sometimes you're just running. You don't even know what's the devil is lying to you. And it's all coming from the world. A lack of commitment to institution. We are a different brand. We belong to Jesus. We are bought by the blood of Jesus. Jesus is committed to us. We are committed to Him. And this is a family. And soon, church, we must realize, church is no longer to be viewed the pastor, church members. That is elementary. When you begin to grow in the things of God, you will understand church is a family. That when I'm sick, I can call on you and say, guys, I am at St. John's Hospital, and you will come with apples and pray with me, and I'll be healed. This is not a place you just come, like you have come for theater, cinema, and then you walk out without greeting your neighbor. No! You greet your neighbor. You make friends here. You connect here. When I was growing up, I heard some pastors preach. And you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. These preachers would preach and I would say, don't ever come to this church to come and marry these sisters. Don't ever do that. And I sat there, I said, if they don't marry here, where will they get them? Listen to me. Come here and get our daughters. Marry those from the family life, Christian church. Hallelujah. This is a place to find a wife, not in a bar. So if you came here, young man, looking for a lady... I will recommend the scripture, watch and pray. Close one eye, the other one open. You are in the right place. We are a family. We will stand together. When I hear you are marrying, I will be there. When I hear you are graduating, I will be there. You are my friend and you are my blood brother. Blood in the sense of the blood of Jesus. The sense of pastor and church members is over. Your pastor is actually your spiritual leader, your father. Receive him that way. You may be older than him. He is your spiritual father. Put your hands together and thank God for Pastor Walker in absentia. Hallelujah. So, those are the problems we are facing in the world. So we must be quick to identify them and put them where they belong. They are not our portion. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Number 2 points, the call to commitment. The call to commitment. The first commitment is the commitment to God. God wants us to come to Him. How? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us that our commitment to Him must supersede our commitment even to our families. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and his wife and his children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 26 to 27. I challenge you, Miracle Life, if you've come here for the first time, you have never heard about the gospel, receive Jesus. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He died for you. He loves you. And life without Jesus is meaningless. That's why you feel a vacuum in you. But when you receive Jesus, He enters into you. The Holy Spirit will live in you. You will become the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the joy of the Lord will be present in your heart. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Even in the midst of trials and tribulation, you will find strength in Him. You will know your secret place. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When everyone is suffering from the trials and problems of the world, you will go into the inner chambers, the hiding place, wait upon him, and he will renew your strength. You will come out with a smile because you had an encounter with God. So everyone will be affected by what is outside, but you will be affected by what God is doing inside. You need Jesus. And for us who have been Christians for 10 years and 20 years, we are so familiar with the Lord that we have forgotten how badly we were damaged by sin. And sometimes the temptation of the devil looks very lucrative that we want to fall into it. Don't go to Satan. Don't fall into that sin. Because now you are used to the presence of God. You think it is good to drink beer. No, sir. Don't be a drunkard. Stay away from that. You want to commit adultery. No, sir. Stay away from that. Be holy, for God who called you is holy. And the blessings of the Lord will follow you. Let me hear a big amen if you believe what I'm saying. Let's stay faithful into the things of God. Completely sold out to Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is power unto salvation. Tell your workmates, Jesus makes me happy. Are you hearing what I'm saying, dear friends? The second thing, the call to commitment, is a commitment to your family. No divorce. No divorce. Somebody help me say that. No divorce. Let's make it louder. No divorce. Everybody say it. No divorce. I want it louder. No divorce. I want somebody walking in the road to hear this. That's just what we believe. No divorce. If you are married, you don't need to divorce. I heard one guy is a born-again Christian. He said, I'm going to divorce my wife. And as pastors, when we're in the office counseling, we are humble, and as a counselor, must not show shock. We are trained to become like a doctor. There are times a doctor will see a patient with a growth he has never seen, a big one like a head with the hair, and it is breathing. And he looks at that. You won't see him move. You say, okay, we'll fix this one. When he goes in the office, he says, oh, am I now? And this guy comes and says, I'm thinking of divorcing my wife. And I'm thinking, you leave home, you walk or drive to come and see a man of God and say, I'm going to divorce. Maybe let me hear the reason. Why are you divorcing? And he says, she's grown old. Ha! Huh? You mean in grade one you were not taught that everyone will get old? And by the way, don't you realize you're also having wrinkles? And the six-pack is gone, you have this extra luggage, and when you're walking, it's dancing also. You don't know that? And you come and tell me I'm divorcing because she's old. Listen, these are temptations from the devil. Your wife is your life partner. Amen. No divorce. Say it with me. No divorce. We are called to be committed to our spouses. Love them. Forgive them. And sometimes family helps us to learn to practice forgiveness. When she says something because she's, you know, towards the end of the month, you understand? Pastors are, there's a brother, he's shaking. He said, come on, brother, don't make me say things in the pulpit. Towards the end of the month of a woman, they become uptight. I know that from my wife. So when she wakes up and she says, good morning, Pastor. I know. This is the end of the month. You understand what I'm saying? And I'll be very calm. Now I know she is in control. I wait after 3-4 days, then I'm back. And I say, hello? Now, during that moment, she may say some things that are not really meant. Forgive her. You should have known a woman has 4 seasons in a month. You should have known. There's one when she's too excited and you have 2 children you don't want anymore. When she's too excited, stay away. I'm speaking riddles. I can see parables are beating everyone. May you have a gift of interpretation right here. When you see your wife is just coming, hallelujah, oh. No. If you had enough children, stay, I would just hug and say hallelujah. If you have three bombastas, put them on. Oh no, why did I say that? Why did I say that? But anyway, it's a piece of wisdom. So you should have known when she's shouting, there's something bugging her. She loves you. Amen. That's why she said, I do. No divorce. No divorce. I was very sad the other day. A young lady married comes and says, my husband has never told me how much he gets. The last time I was reading the newspaper, I saw big banks declaring their assets and liabilities. If the bank can show every Jim and Jack how much they have, what about you? I think again, you're thinking too small. This is a world of transparency. You are not showing your neighbor. This is your wife. You said we are one. It's not just one on a king's bed. It's one in the pocket also, where money is. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Show your wife how much you get. Women, be transparent also. Plan together. And then together we take our family to another level. We can't use money to divorce us. The next thing, commitment to our health. Gentlemen, it is good to take T-bone and sausage and everything. But after that, let's do some exercise. And be calculating in your eating. We still have children to take to university. We need to also to hand our daughters in marriage. So we don't want to die. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And most people in the world, they go to a doctor when they are sick. May I propose, just go for checkup. Let them just check anything. The way we take our vehicles after 5,000 kilometers, let's do the same. We respect our Benz and a BM, but your body is better than a BM. Oh, I wish I had an amen. The men are not saying anything because a man with a car, you see, that's where they become quiet. But it's true. You take your body for checkup this week. Let him just check and know how your body is functioning. And then be committed to your health. I see my friend there with a little baby or child there. That boy must grow up to 25. So be committed to your health. See this child marry. See the grandchildren. So look after your health. Can I hear a big amen right there? Amen. Commitment to our employers. I read some statistics in America that in America, averagely, people in 10 years, they change between 6 to 10 jobs. They are no longer committed to the cause of the company. All they want is a big package. I want to challenge you as Christian to do something different. Paul says, when you're in that office, serve as if you are serving the Lord Jesus. If you are a manager there, do everything you can. Go in early and knock off slightly late. Make sure you do very well. Make sure you finish all the job before the weekend. Work hard. Don't use a telephone for the job for your personal things. You have your cell phone. Do that with your cell phone. Now, I'm not hearing many amens, but I know I'm preaching good. Can I hear some amen from everyone? And the next thing is this. Be committed to your church. I explained a little bit more. Be committed to your church. I want you to think of serving in this church. Here is a quote I picked from. A missionary society wrote David Livingstone and asked, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, we want to know how to send other men from London to join you. Livingstone wrote back, if you have men who will come only if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there is no road at all. And many times we come to church, now I want this perfect. I want this perfect. Maybe you have a gift. You have seen what is missing. Why don't you bring it into manifestation? So God has brought you here to fix what you saw is missing. Did you get my point? Yes. So that's the time you come and stay. You don't run away from a church. If you think there's something we can do here, I want you to come forward. See the staff. See Pastor Walker and say, I was thinking of this idea. You'll be surprised. Pastor Walker will grab it with her hands and it will be done. And friends, what I'm trying to say here, time of complaining. No, if there is this, then I will do this. No, make it yourself. Make the road yourself and show us how it is done. It is time to we are committed. This is our church. Nelson Mandela is known as a hero. He was committed to ANC, to the development of mankind in South Africa. We know great men who have stood. David Livingstone is honored because he was committed. There was no road, dear friends. There was no road. We complain about these roads which are thicker. Oh, God, have mercy on us. But, you know, there was not even a small road. There was no car. That man walked. But he preached and died in Zambia. Commitment. Saved. Until they are saved in Zambia. If David Livingstone was told by God, I mean, this would really break the rules of heaven and the Bible. But if God decided and said, David Livingstone, go to Zambia. He comes to Miracle Man. He would hold his head. He would not preach. He says it was worth it to die in Zambia. It was worth it. Look at all these Christians. Look at the churches around. Its time has come. I will be committed. I will be committed. I will be committed to this church. Stop complaining. Do something, dear friends, David said. And we men, we are engineers, we are visionaries. When you see something needed in this church, do it. Do it. Commitment to our prayers. Abraham Lincoln said, I quote, "We have been talking to the Americans. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened the Americans. We have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that gave us all." And we are seeing it happening as pastors in this generation in Zambia, where Christians are prospering. Allow me to make a parable. Here is a young man comes from university, says, "I have a degree, pray with me," very humble. And when he said, "Okay, let's pray," as a pastor, you stretch out your hand in companionship, in friendship, holding hands with a brother. No, the brother goes on his knees in humility, a sign of humility from the heart manifesting. He says, "No, don't hold my hands, pastor. Lay your hands on my shoulder or my head." And we do that. We say, "Lord, this young man has been faithful. Faithful in singing in the praise team. Faithful in ushering. Give him a job." 1 week later, he's employed. The other week, he has a letter to go to America. He goes to America. The next thing, he's in UK, first class. He buys a nice car. Suddenly, we say, "Let's come for prayer. I'm very busy. And with all these latest gadgets and I'm busy." Have you forgotten? This is what he said. Have you forgotten how we pray together? Have you forgotten all that you are having because you knelt down? And when we say come for prayer meeting, you say, "No, listen to this. It's for those who are really without employment." Are you sure? Did you know that prayer is a sign of showing dependence on God? It's a declaration, "God, you are my source, my provider, my healer, my protector when I'm driving." Haven't you realized that? How come now you are taking prayer and throwing it as if it is sin? God says, "Come to me. Let's continue to pray in our families with your wife and your children." Personal devotion, dear friends. I challenge you, friends, if you value God, men, be in charge of devotion in your families. I challenge you to wake up in the morning alone in your living room or somewhere and sit down and read one chapter every day and lead your family in a godly way. God is calling us to depend on Him. Commit your wife in God's hands. Commit your children as they go to school, that evil men will not touch your daughter, that they will succeed and be doctors and lawyers as God has ordained them to be. God is calling us to do that. We can't say now we have so much money. I have 100 million or I don't know how much billions. And I don't need to pray. No, sir. No, sir. God has sent me to tell you. You have received all these blessings because of Him. Continue to pray. Continue to seek Him. The more you have, the more you pray. I said, the more you have, the more you pray. As I'm ending now, friends, I want to ask the true nature of commitment. Three things. The first thing is that commitment starts in the heart. Commitment starts in the heart. I pray today that you'll be committed to a few things I've suggested here. In your heart, decide today. One day I received information that I could go for studies in German. The government of Zambia, then Dr. Kaunda was the president, could sponsor me. I decided I will go. None in my family were able to sit in a plane. I was the first one. But I decided I will go. I was moving from familiar territory into unfamiliar territory. But it all started with a decision. One day I had a little bit of money many years ago. And I said, I have been walking and all the cars I've driven are for the organization or the company. I decided to buy mine. It started in the heart. Another day I thought, being alone, I'm 25 years, it's not good, as the Bible says. I need a woman. I decided in my heart and I married. Decide in your heart today that you'll be committed to God. Amen. Decide in your heart today that you will love your wife and your spouse until death parts with you. Decide in your heart that this is my church and nothing will change it. Even if people speak, I'll say, be quiet. This is my church and I'll serve wholeheartedly. This is it, full stop. Number two, the nature of true commitment. Commitment is tested by action. I challenge you to take action. Look at Elisha. What shocked me was the fact that there was a band of prophets, I would call them trainee prophets, and I believe they were trained by same Elijah, and they knew what Elisha knew, that this man of God will go. But Elisha's heart was, I am with this man right to the end. You must stand with Pastor Walker right to the end. Let's finish car park. I have a thought right now, and I hope it's not human, it's really, but let me say it. I think there are four or five people who are at home, not going to any church, waiting for the car park to be finished. Then they will come. The day we finish, you see the numbers, those five will come and sit where there are no people. Because they are not ready to be like Elisha, to go all the way. I salute you all. Pastor Walker is in the States doing God's work. You can. I suspect there are two people who said, no, today I won't go. Pastor Walker is not there. And that is not the spirit of Elisha. What we need next week, Reverend Newberry will be preaching here. We come. This is God's work. I will come when my pastor is ministering elsewhere. And God will be delighted and more business will come to my company. Let me hear a big amen if I'm with them. This is the commitment all the way to the end, dear friends. Action. Drive your car, come Sunday after Sunday. There's one thing I know about my wife. Shocking but true. When I married, I noticed that when it was towards the month end, she had these cramps. It was so bad. You literally had to take her to hospital. And one thing I noticed, even if she's in severe pain, she'll be in church. And you hear her go, And I would tell her, why don't you rest? She said, even if I'm at home, the pain won't go. I'll be in the house of the Lord. God will take the pain away. That commitment. Some people, when they had an injury, they were cutting vegetables. An injury on them. I can't go to church. Why? You can see. You can see for yourself. You can see. Here is the reason. God wants us to be committed no matter what. Whether it's raining, we will be here. Until we finish this job. That's the commitment we are asking for. Finally, commitment opens the door to achievement. Did you know that? If we want to achieve a lot, we must be committed. Elisha achieved a lot because he was committed. Jesus achieved a lot because he was committed. Peter achieved a lot because he was committed. Paul was raising the dead and miracles were happening in his ministry because he was committed. If you are not seeing any miracles, can I suggest maybe your commitment was low? But I declare today, your commitment has gone high. Because my word, my Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And I know now the word is coming, your faith has grown high. I declare you have the spirit of Elisha. I said you have a spirit of Elisha. I declare double portion will come your way. I declare if your salary was this, because of your commitment, may it double. Oh, I wish somebody would catch that. May it double. I said may it double. 3 Sundays ago, I announced in church. I said, the Lord is telling me somebody will be promoted here. A young lady grabbed it. She works for an insurance. She noticed there was no vacancy on it, but she grabbed the word. You know, there are times you just grab the word. And your brain may not make sense. I mean, even the Bible says that the peace of God in our hearts transcends all understanding. There's chaos, but you feel peace. And that's the guiding that you come through. Whenever you feel peace, you will come through. You may see chaos and dust. The dust will settle. You will you will overcome. My sister, you will go through this one. Don't panic. Just sit. You will see the dust will come down. And you will move to the other side. Let me hear a big amen if you are here. This young lady grabbed the word. And on Monday, she was excited. Anyway, the letter will come Tuesday. Tuesday, nothing. Wednesday, nothing. Thursday, nothing. But she was hopeful. She was saying, I'm sure a pastor said that word. It's mine, Friday. Friday. So Friday, Njikata, Friday, Njikata. Friday, it's my day. And she claimed nothing. She was a little disappointed. Then Saturday morning, she just thought, let me go and clear work. When she opened her office, she found a letter. The boss had left it Friday evening. You are promoted as a manager. I declare, may you find your promotion. I said, may you find your promotion. Because you are committed, may your business blossom. When others will say it is a famine, it won't be the case with you. You remember Isaac. He was committed to God. There was famine. He dug wells. He began to plant. And he became so rich that the president of that country was intimidated. May you prosper. I said, may you prosper. Because you are committed, may things go well for your family. May your son come back to faith. May your daughters come back to faith. May good things come upon your family. Somebody say, yes!
Yes!
Stand up with me, friends. I am done. Three things I want to see you do now as we act on this. Number one, I want you, if you are here and you have never committed yourself to Christ, to give your life to Christ. Number two, I want to pray, have this burden, I believe the Lord put it on my heart, that all those who are married here, today there will be unscheduled marriage renewal vows. You will come in front here and you hold your wife and say, Pakafienfwa. I know our friends who may not speak that language, you learn it anyway. The way we learnt English means until death, you know. Pakafienfwa. Everybody say, Pakafienfwa. Until death will part us. That's what I mean. Are we together, friends? I declare in the name of Jesus that temptation of divorce that came to a particular family, I cancel it right now. The Holy Spirit binds that family together right now. May you begin to see a refreshing of the Lord and may your marriage blossom like never before. Let me hear a good amen.
Amen.
We are going to do that at the end. So number one, I want somebody here, you have never given your life to Christ. You love God. You love this church. But you have never accepted Christ to be your Savior. Before I was saved, I used to go to disco. I had a girlfriend. Never meant to marry her, but just a girlfriend. When I gave my life to Christ, I shunned all things of the world. Great day when I was born again. The things I used to do, I do them no more. I love Christ. If I want to rest, yes, I go to South Africa. I go to Livingston. I see Victoria Falls with my wife. I go to good restaurants when the Lord enables me with money. But friends, I don't touch evil. One thing I don't do sin. I do everything else except sin. And I challenge you today. You are living in sin. Maybe you are addicted to cocaine. I don't know, drugs. I want you to know that Jesus can set you free right now. You are messed up. You borrowed money and things are not working because you don't have Christ. When he enters, he will help you get out of debt and it will be well with your soul. But moreover, your sins will be washed away. The Holy Spirit will enter into your life. You will be called a child of God. Everybody bow your heads, begin to pray. If you are born again, whisper a prayer, praying for that one man, one woman in our midst who's not saved. Let me hear everybody just whispering prayer for that one. We love you, my friend. We love you. I don't know where you are. I love you. And I want you to receive the Jesus I received, the Jesus we all received, most of us received here. If you are there and you want to give your life to Christ right now, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, lift up your hand wherever you are. Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand wherever you are. I want to see that hand. I see a hand right at the back there. Any other person? There's another hand. I see another hand there. Another person, give your life to Christ. Lift up your hand. Don't fight. The Holy Ghost is speaking to you. Receive Christ. Your life will never, ever be the same again. Thank you for lifting those hands. Any other person? Now, my friends who have lifted their hands, come and greet me. Come in front. Come here. Come, ushers, help them. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come. Don't be shy. Just come to me. I want to shake your hand. Come. People, heaven is rejoicing. I said heaven is rejoicing. Come, 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 come. Come and shake my hand. Oh, God. God bless you. God bless you. Just stand right there. Come, come. My friend there who lifted your hand, come. There was another hand at the back there. Come, 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 come. Yes, come, come, come. Come, come, come. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Welcome, welcome. Come, come in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel this. These ones are giving their lives to Christ for the first time. But I feel right in this corner. Come and lead them. Come and lead them, Brother Benjamin. Come on, put your hands together. Come, greet me, greet me, greet me. Hello. Greet me first. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want our eyes closed. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I sense there are some, you love Christ so much, but you fell into temptation. Things are not too well. I want you to come in this corner. I want to lay hands on you that God restores your prayer life, your passion for the word. You feel you're backslidden. You are a child of God, but you just want to put things right. Quickly come and kneel down here. I want to lay hands. Everybody be praying. Just come quickly when I lay hands and you are praying. You are born again. You love Christ, but you're not praying in tongues the way you used to pray. Quickly, quickly, because I have a few minutes to go, friend. Just kneel down. Just kneel down. Kneel down right there. That's why I wanted you to kneel right there. Lift up your hand. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. Tell the Lord. Stretch your hands to them, friends. Stretch your hands to them. Just begin to pray and say, Lord, I'm coming. You are born again, so just talk to him. Just talk to him. If it is full, you can kneel down there. Just humble yourself. I wanted you to use the carpet, but it's all right. Just kneel down. You clean your trousers and dresses later. It doesn't matter. Just kneel down there. Church, come on, pray. I want to hear Pentecostal people praying. Open your mouth, pray. Tell the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, help me. I want to be committed to you. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Be blessed. Be blessed. I'm laying hands on you now. Be blessed. Just continue praying. Oh, restore. Restore, Lord. Restore their passion. Restore their devotional time with you, Lord. You are blessed, my friends. You are blessed. 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 Boka basendere, boko sadaria, boko sendere, boko sembe, kasoko boko senderia. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. You are blessed. 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 Your life will not be the same again. you continue to pray. Lift your hand. Just talk to him. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. It's a long time you spoke. Start speaking in tongues right here. Go sandere ukosembe katoko shikembe keseria. Nanda kotoko moko setere moko seteria. Keep on praying. Just keep on praying. Your prayer life will never be the same again. You read the Bible every day now. Boko somboko seteria. You follow Christ. You overcome the temptation. Omboko sendere baka seteria. Randoko seke mbeke seteria. Moko sanga boko seteria. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody. Let's worship the Lord in a minute. Boko sembeke seteria. Come on, everybody. Lift your hands. Let's just allow the Holy Ghost to move here. Just worship him, worship him, worship him. One more thing, friends. One more thing. Please, ushers, help them now to go in their seats. All the married couple, quickly come. I have 2 minutes to go now. Just quickly, couples, come. If you are alone, your wife is at home or out of the country or town, it's all right. Just come. All the couples, all the couples, all the couples, please come quickly, come. And come with your, if your wife is here, hold her tightly. We want our marriages. We want our marriages to be strong. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Stand with your cup. You can stand all over here, friends. All over here. It's all right. All over here. I'll be moving all over. Stand there. Kahande shende na kasetere mo kasetere ya. Nakahonde kanana shendere randu kose. All those who are married can stand all over. If it is full, you can stand in the aisle. It is well. Karambohande shekere mesede ya. Church, stretch your hands to them. I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit right now. I sense that there's one or two people here. Your spouses are not saved. And I want to trust God. Stretch your hands, friends. Let's pray together. I want to trust God that if your spouse is not saved, that the Holy Ghost will begin to work on them. That maybe in a week, maybe in 2 months, maybe in a month, they will be saved and they will come here. Are you with me, friends? Okay, let's pray right now. Father, I thank you for any lady, any man who has come here without a spouse. And the reason being, they are not saved. Today we agree in this church that, Lord, your Spirit go and arrest their hearts. Lord, begin to speak to them during the day. Send messengers who speak the gospel to them in their business places, in their working places. In the night, send the angel to minister the gospel. Lord, I ask even for a favor. Lord Jesus, appear to some who are hard-hearted. Let them see you and be saved. For the sake of my friends who are standing here, because they have come by faith. Save their spouses, my God. Save them and bring them to miracle life. May they testify one day that yes, the Lord heard our prayers. And my husband is saved. And my wife is saved. In Jesus' name. Everybody, put your hands together and thank the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to know, it hurts me. It hurts me when I hear a pastor is divorced. It hurts me. How can we, who say Jesus is the answer, fail to forgive each other? How can we fail? Maybe because of money and clothes and our selfishness. It hurts me when I hear 50% in other churches all over the world, they are divorcing. How come? How can we harden our hearts so much? What is it that your wife has done that you say, I'm having this against her? God is saying, forgive her. I forgive you. I forgive you. Leave that burden on the altar today. And embrace your wife again. Embrace your husband again. Let's show the world we know the truth. Marriage in Christianity is the best. Let them not start laughing at the church. And so if you came here and you had a thought of divorcing, repent right now. I give you 20 seconds. Everybody, hold your spouse and just pray, God, help me to sustain this marriage. Just pray, pray wherever you are. Oh God, be merciful on the church in Zambia and the world. Here is a representation of marriages. Lord, forgive us any bitterness we have harbored against our spouses. Forgive us, Lord. We release any hurt Any pain that has come to us from our spouses, we release it. Release it, my friend. Release it right now. Through that whisper of prayer, just tell the Lord, no, I release her. I release him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I feel a wonderful sense of love right here. I want you to turn to your wife. I want you to turn to your husband, those who are here. And I want to tell them something right now. Just tell them, I love you. Tell them, look, I've committed myself. Just tell them something right now before we pray. Tell them something. I feel some joy and love. I feel that joy and love. Oh, I feel it. I feel it. Oh, hallelujah. Hold her very tightly. I'm announcing something here. I declare in the name of Jesus, the love of God will bind you, and nothing else will cut that cord. I declare today that your marriage shall prosper. I declare that your children shall be saved. I declare that whatever project you have on mind, it will manifest by the grace of God. I declare that the mention of word divorce will never come out of your mouth. I declare that God will use you to shine in your company, business, and community as a light, as an example of marriage in Jesus' name. I release the grace of marriage upon your life. I declare you'll be an example. And I declare much more joy, peace. Thank you, Jesus. Manaho Shebe, there's something I must mention here, and I want to obey the Holy Spirit. For some, this is very important. I release a sense of honeymoon back in your marriage. And I just obeyed that. The Lord knows. Let's just thank God. There's a sweet spirit moving here in front. Friends, you are united. Friends, you will see great things because you are committed to one another. Your marriage will be full of joy. I say it. Friends, I'm seeing a light in your families. A light bringing love, understanding, joy. Some of you have little children. I see children jumping and rejoicing in your marriage. I see a dark cloud of shouting and anger departing. And there's this light all around your family. Manda Shokobola. Come on, everybody. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Please thank the Lord with me. Thank the Lord with me. These marriages are blessed. These marriages are blessed. These marriages are blessed. Come on, make some joyful noise in the house. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Singles, after the wedding vows, what happens? There is a what? There is a? It starts with a K. Let me give you an idea. Can I hear the singles say it? What happens after that? I didn't hear you. The people have spoken. The people have spoken. It's my honor and privilege now. Mr. and Mrs., may you kiss. Yes, 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 yes. Go and sit now. Hallelujah. Go and sit. Oh, singles, don't think I forgot about you. No. Today I want to announce, wherever your spouse is, may they locate you. Oh, you didn't hear me. Wherever they are, may they locate you. I want all the singles to stand. If your husband is in UK, may they come. If he's in Europe, may they come. In South Africa, may they come. How many of you understand what I'm saying? The last time I gave the first service this announcement, and now I'm ending. I announced the same in church, and the singles were laughing at me. But there was this senior lady in our church, about 49 years, she grabbed the word. Then her friend invited her in German just for Christmas. And she was on the dining, and her friend invited other friends. And so they were on their dining table eating. And lo and behold, a single doctor, about 51 years, a German man, entered the dining. And the man began to look at this gorgeous Zambian 49 years old. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it's not too late. I've just spoken a word of counsel. You are 25, don't panic. Your man is coming. And so, they couldn't help. Instead of looking at the delicious food, they were looking at each other. To cut the long story short, I conducted the wedding in our church. The man came with many Germans and I conducted the marriage. Let me tell you something. All things are possible. In my church, I have one gentleman is from Uganda, married a Kenyan. There are all kinds of intermarriages, national and tribes and everything, because we are one. So when I tell you that your husband will be forced to come and come here in Miracle Life, they will come from America. And let me give you another tip. When a man is praying, one eye is closed and opening, then you need to be visible. Be an usher singing the praise team or something. I'm just saying a word of wisdom. Don't be always in a corner. When you see a group of Americans coming here, from today, one will be yours. Did you hear what I just said there? When you see the British come, the South African, one will be yours. Don't say, it's not my portion. From today, it is your portion. I said, it is your portion. Singles, lift one hand and say, it's my portion. Pastor, you will confirm one day. This word will happen. Anyone with faith, it will happen. Now, there are many of you, you just believe the Zambian will come. That's okay. According to your faith, may they come from Kasama, Chinsali. It's all right. I call them forth. Because that's what you want. Lift up your hand in the name of Jesus. All singles. The marriage, you can sit down. I asked you, it's all right. The marriage, just relax. Let me deal with it as the last thing. Thank you. Lift up your hand. Father, I thank you for all these young people standing here. They have been committed to you and to this church. I ask that before the end of this year, surprise them. I ask that you send your spirit to gather spouses all over the world. From Lusaka, Zambia, from Africa, from the whole world, bring them here. As they walk around, may their face shine and glow. May a fellow Christian spot them in the name of Jesus. Father, grant them favor that they will be seen by wonderful, dedicated Christians. Grant them a wonderful and beautiful marriage. In the name of Jesus, I declare. And the singles say,
amen.
Put your hands together and thank the Lord.
Let's just give it up for Pastor Fortune Minza. If you've been blessed, if you've been touched, if God has just done something awesome in your life, to just give it up for Jesus. Just take 1 minute to thank God for something that He has done, for a good work that He has started. The Bible says the good work that He has begun in us, He's faithful to bring it to completion. So I've got a reason to rejoice. If you have a reason to rejoice like me, just take 1 minute and just stand up and shout to the Lord and shout the praise, shout your victory.